All right, well, good morning again, everybody. Yeah. Now go ahead and make your way back to your spots or pick a new spot. It's does that work? Oh. Thanks. Yeah, sometimes you wonder. All right, well, it's good to see you all here this morning. So they've changed their weather report a little bit, so not going to get as much snow next week as they thought, which that's good. Although it's going to get cold. So yeah. You're not in your trailer now, so that's good. Porta potty doesn't freeze. All right. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, just for, you know, this season. As we come into Thanksgiving this next week and then move on towards Christmas, Father, just the kind of the reminder of who you are and what you've done, that this next week that we truly can be thankful to you for all the blessings. And the hard stuff, too. It says give thanks in everything. And sometimes it's not easy to do that, but yet that's what you expect. And you are in it all. You are working in it. And then as we go towards Christmas, just helping us to remember that gift that you gave us. And this morning as we look at your will be done, Father, that you will help us to, that really would be our attitude every day. Your will be done, not ours, but yours. And that it would just permeate our beings. And that we would have just the understanding of saying that, what that really means in our lives. That we want your will to be done, not ours. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would just speak to us. And, Father, I want to lift up Sandy Stinson and Roger Loberg specifically this morning, too, who are in the hospital. And just, Father, praying for healing for them, praying for wisdom for the medical staff, and that you would just help them to feel your presence about them this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm gonna go ahead and do some announcements now, just to get them out of the way. So, Experiencing God Study is coming up. There's a sign-up sheet out there. The sign-up sheet is for those who are participating, those who would like to host, and those who would like to facilitate. So, everything goes on there. I purchased some books this week, so we've got some books coming. They're going to be approximately $13. I'll have a sign-up sheet out there for that. And so be aware of that. Any questions, you can talk to me about that. The Christian Children's Ministry could really use some helpers, not teachers, but helpers. Kind of a warm body to be in there to wrangle some kids, so they could really use some help there. 95 boxes went out for Operation Christmas Child, so that's pretty cool, and all the postage was paid for on that. And then just again, for those that weren't here last week, you heard this. Some of you heard this last week. The issue with the deacons right now is kind of just a a lack of being able to find people to participate there. And so the board is going to ask the congregation at the congregational meeting to vote on suspending the deacon board for the year. And then they will work on trying to figure out what this is going to look like, what we need to do. Maybe it needs to change, but not ready to really do that yet. So that'll be coming up. And then the connection cards, still working on the directory and the phone list. If you want your name in the directory, you want your name on the phone list, you need to fill one of these out if you haven't. You know, if you've done it, we've been kind of doing this for the last couple months, but we're getting closer to getting that done. So Diane needs that information. All right. So we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Yes. I've already started, so it's too late. Sit down. Tanzania. Yeah, God doing some great things. So the Lord's Prayer. This is a series we've been going on here, and actually I'm going to suspend it for a little while because we're going to start Advent next Sunday, and I'm going to be doing messages on Advent leading up to Christmas. So today we're looking at Your will be done, the second part of Matthew 10 or 6:10. Last week we looked at Your kingdom come, and what that meant. That was actually the second request that is made within the Lord's Prayer. The first one being that God would honor His name, bless you, and God's kingdom coming was inaugurated by Jesus when He came. That was God's kingdom on this earth was starting. It was characterized by the love of God, and it will be completed at Christ's return. God's kingdom on this earth will be completed at Christ's return. Today we're looking at God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our third request within the Lord's Prayer, that God's will be done here on this earth. So God's will, kind of what does that look like? Well, the first one would be God's sovereign will. In other words, His absolute sovereign rule over everything. You know, God's will be done. We don't really need to ask for that will because it's God's will. He's doing it. It's going to be done. It was done in creation. We see in Genesis 1:1 where God created everything. That was part of God's will. Everything in the universe is ordered by God. The smallest little particle to the rulers on the earth, God has put those in place. We see God working specifically with Pharaoh as the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt, and God's control, God's will over Pharaoh of what he would do, how he would act, that he eventually would let the people go. And he does that. It says that God has control over all the rulers of the earth. We think about that and think, okay, so why don't they act better? Right? If God has control of them, because there's this thing called free will. God does not want us as human beings to be puppets. You know, he wants us to love Him out of our own self-will. And so He is not going to exercise absolute, complete control over every human being. But He will accomplish His will. He will make it happen. The bigger picture of what God's doing. Is that you? Oh, my. Okay. Was she answering a question or what? Yeah. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established. I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God will work his will. Psalm 135:6 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. God will accomplish his will. Sometimes we look at it and think, how can this possibly be God's will? Because we don't understand the bigger picture of what's happening. You know, you look around the world and you think, it's such a mess. How can that be God's will? Because God is still working in that. He's still working. He's accomplishing his will. Then there's what we would call God's revealed will. God's revealed will. And, of course, the bulk of that is in Scripture. God reveals his will. He reveals himself in Scripture. And this is what we're to pray for. When we say, your will be done, what we want is God's revealed will to be done here on the earth. The Ten Commandments is a good example of God's revealed will. He says, this is what I want to have happen. This is how I want you to live. This is part of who I am and who you need to be. You shall have no other gods before me. God alone. You shall make for yourself no idol. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. That's a paraphrase. This is how he would want us to live. This is his will for us. The gospel is part of his revealed will. Acts 17:29 through 31 says, being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man, Christ, whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. The gospel is God's will. That Jesus would come to this earth, that he would die for us who are sinners, that he would be raised again to prove that this was true, and that we now have that provided for us, that redemption, that salvation from sin. That is God's will, the whole way that happened. And he revealed that to us in his word, through his prophets. God also reveals his expectations for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22, it says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very high in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another, for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Can't make it much more clear than that. God is saying, this is my will. This is how I want you to live. And a big part of living that way is revealing then God's will in the earth. That we're living in such a way that we show who God is. That God is a God of love. But he also is a God of order. He's also a God who expects people to live a certain way. Paul was personally told how he was to do things. There's at least three verses here that really start out with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. At least three times Paul says that. He understands that God's will for him personally is X. That he is called to do this. And really, for every one of us, we should feel a calling of God. We should have some understanding of what God's will is for us beyond what we read there in 1 Thessalonians, which is more kind of a generic, here's how I want you to live. But what am I specifically supposed to do for God? That's what Paul is saying here. I'm called as an apostle. I know what God has called me to do, and I'm about his business. What does God want you to do in the world? You know, out in the world, what does he want you to do? What does God want you to do in the body of Christ, in the church? What does he want you to do? Is there some specific things? I can guarantee there are, because the church wouldn't function without people functioning in God's will in the church. We need to seek what God's will is. The study that we're going to be doing, Experiencing God, is a great one for understanding what God's will is. And how then do we work through that process of figuring out, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I think, you know, maybe for the bulk of us, we don't really want to ask what God's will is for my personal life, because he might tell us. Because we have all these ideas in our heads of what he might ask us to do. Yet we don't know. We need to ask. And that's when we're praying in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, that's exactly what we're asking. Is God, your will be done in my life. The third one is prayer, because that's what this is. We're praying this, your will be done. In other words, turn the hearts of people towards you. Turn my heart towards you. Help me to obey and to glorify you. But again, is this what we truly want? God, your will be done. God, your kingdom done, come, because of what it is going to do. If we pray, God, your will be done, means, God, I give up my rights. I give up my right to do what I want to do, and I want to do what you want me to do. Help me to submit humbly to you. J.I. Packer said this, here, more clearly than anywhere, the purpose of prayer becomes plain. Not to make God do my will, which is magic, but to bring my will into line with his, which is what it means to practice true religion. God, your will be done in my life. Help me to know what that is. Help me to understand it. Help me to pursue that. And remembering, we talked about this before, that this is a radical, subversive prayer. When we say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because what it does is it overthrows the kingdom of man. It overthrows my kingdom, my little realm, that I think I'm in control of, but I'm really not. And the picture that can be seen here is, so looking at the culture of the time, so Rome's in control, and Rome saw Christianity as subversive and traitorous because Christians would not serve Caesar as God. Overthrow the kingdoms of the world, God, and your kingdom be put in rule. Overthrow the rule of Satan, who is ruling on this earth. Turn the hearts of people to the true king. To the true king. Now, when we hear king, we may think of totalitarianism, absolute control, ruler. And we as human beings don't like that. No, I don't want somebody telling me what to do and when to do it. We want to rule ourselves. And yet, in this prayer of saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, is we're giving up that rule of ourselves. We want God to rule. We want God to be in control. And to do it willingly. And then number four, Christ's rule. We looked last week at Augustine's, where he was talking about the city of God, the city of man. And in the city of man, the motivation was self-love. Where in the city of God, the motivation needs to be God's love. Do I love God enough to humbly submit to him and allow him to do whatever he wants with my life? Do I trust him to do that? Good answer, because that's usually what happens. Because a lot of times that is what it comes down to. Do we really trust God with our lives? Well, you know, I understand who God is, and, you know, I understand who Jesus is, and he came to save me from my sin. That's cool. That's awesome. And then we leave it at that, and we don't go any further. We don't truly submit to God's rule. Jesus has some expectations for us. He demands allegiance. In Luke 14:26, Jesus speaking to the people about those who wanted to follow him. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And again, I've talked about this before. It isn't that literally that's how you're going to treat other people, but it needs to be the attitude that Jesus Christ is absolutely number one first. To literally willing to give up our very own lives for him. And in doing that, it disrupts our life. We don't like that. I like my, you know, little comfort zone. I don't want to have my life disrupted. But if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, your life is going to be disrupted. 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Peter also talked about, don't think it unusual when suffering and persecution and trials come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that we need to be pursuing His purposes, not our purposes. John 21:22, Jesus said, he's speaking about Peter and John and Jesus are actually Jesus and Peter are having this discussion. And good old Peter. Jesus says, well, this is what I want you to do. And Peter says, well, what about him? Speaking to John. let's deflect to someone else. I don't, you know, what about him? And Jesus is responsive. If I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. Don't worry about somebody else. Don't worry about what the other person's doing. You do what I ask you to do. Follow me. And of course, he's already told them, here's what that's going to take. He's now already told us. Again, God's revealed will in the scripture. God is very clear. Here's what it's going to look like to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to give yourself up. You know, as he said in Luke, to hate your own life because you want what Jesus has for you, which is a better life. God's kingdom and his will done on this earth can only be accomplished by him. But his expectation is that we will participate with him in that. You know, some people might think that, well, we can build God's kingdom on earth with all of our social programs and our humanitarian efforts and all of our great philanthropy. Look at all the great work we're doing. Well, great. That's good. But what's your motivation? You know, your real motivation is probably self. You don't want God to be in control. Again, I don't want God as king. I want his kingdom. I want, you know, the peace and the security and things to go really well, but I don't want to be under God as king. I still want to be able to do my own thing. Albert Mohler said, we are called to be faithful in the Great Commission. In other words, going out, making disciples, telling people about Jesus Christ. We're to be faithful in that, trusting that God, by his sovereign supernatural grace, will spread his redemptive reign to every tribe, tongue, and nation. Because if we look at what God is calling us to do and think that we need to do it in our own power, we're going to be overwhelmed. And a lot of times when we get overwhelmed, then we just do nothing. We need to realize that what God calls us to do, he equips us to do. He's given us the Holy Spirit. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit that will help us do what he calls us to do. So don't be afraid to step out and do what God wants you to do. Don't be afraid to pray. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Knowing that that's going to affect me personally, that that's not just a generic thing, that is, God, I want you to do this. And if you need to, start with me. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so grateful that you directed me to this study on the Lord's Prayer, because, you know, it just, like I've said before, most of us pretty much know it by from memory, but do we really know it? Do we really understand when we're praying it? What are we really praying? Do we really mean that, or is it just words? And I think probably so many times it is just words, because we don't realize the implication of what we're praying. So, Father, help us to understand. Help us to understand that when we ask, your kingdom come, your will be done, what that really means. And along with that, we ask that your name be honored and glorified on the earth. That you would do that. And to realize that the way you're going to do that is through us. We are the plan. We are the ones that are to spread the gospel. We're the ones to tell people about you. We're the ones that, that we are to live a life that glorifies you, that radiates who you are. And we really can only do that with your help, with your Holy Spirit helping us do that, helping us put our will aside and seeking after your will. Father, I pray for all of us that every day we have a better understanding of who you are, a better understanding of who we are in light of who you are, and a better understanding of what you want us to do, what kind of lives you want us to live that would further your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great Thanksgiving.